I'd like to introduce, first of all, the Honorable Harold Cook, Deputy Mayor of Denver, to welcome His Holiness.
Thank you, Your Holiness. We all know that pride is not a virtue, but a sin. However, we in Denver are proud to have the largest Tibetan Buddhist community in the United States, located in our neighboring city of Boulder. We're proud of the Betcher Hall and this large turnout here tonight. But most of all, we're proud to welcome you to Denver, the capital city of Colorado, and to join our prayers with yours for a better world of peace, brotherhood, compassion, truth, and understanding. On behalf of the people of Denver, I say welcome and thank you for choosing to stop in our city. And may your message be taken to heart, not only by the people of Colorado, but those of the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Cook. I'd also like to introduce Roger Regent Ursel Tenzin, the lineage holder of the Venerable Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche and the Chief Administrative Officer of the International Association of Buddhist Churches headquartered in Boulder, Vajradhatu, Roger Regent Ursel Tenzin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. On behalf of Venerable Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche and Vajradhatu, I would like to welcome you here. For over 2,500 years, the teaching of the Buddha has been transmitted and practiced and has benefited countless human beings. The teaching of the Buddha is simple and direct, that all of us as human beings possess a basic goodness, and through discipline and non-aggression, that goodness can manifest. When that goodness does manifest, we have a world which is harmonious and gentle. It is only through removing the darkness of ignorance that such a world can manifest. And we are so fortunate tonight to be in the presence of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, who, through his continuous effort and teaching, has worked for the benefit of all beings to remove the ignorance and create a world of peace and gentleness. We as Buddhists are very proud to be in Colorado and proud to be able to share in our mutual experience of living here. We are also very glad to be able to add to and benefit the prosperity and well-being of this place. And in this regard, we feel extremely delighted and pleased to be able to host His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And we would like to, at this time, request His Holiness to address us. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, I am very, very glad do with you. And tonight here, and I will say something about the general idea, and then about spiritual, and then third, I will explain something about the Buddhist technique for with certain ideas, mainly the compassion and wisdom. Now, firstly, I would like to say something about the is a human problem. Now, you see, we human beings on this planet, you see, through centuries, we human beings carry struggle for our, survive and development. And you see, through generations to generations, make effort. Now this 20th century, you see, we reach, through science and technology, you see, we reach very high material progress. Now you see, this time, human being can reach moon and some other planets, you see. But the other side, you see, our mental development, you see, inner development is still not at all adequate. Now here, you see, the mental development means the is a warm heart and love and kindness, honest. So I am not talking from the religious viewpoint, but I am just simply talking from the viewpoint of as a human being. Say, human society is such. You see, we have to live together. Without the human community, one single human being cannot survive. Now you see today's world situation, you see in the economy field, you see we have to rely to not only nation to nation, but continent to continent, we have to rely. Now it's very clearly, now here you see, now for example in this, I think you see here, our people practically, more or less, you see, each one has one car. Now these car moving because of oil. Without oil, we cannot move these cars. So if you see the fuel, not more,
oil.
If oil
is finished,
then you see we have to carry our car by our own shoulder. You see, at the moment the car carry ourselves. So you see, this sort of thing. You see, if we think, the many things depend on other continent. Now the highly developed industrialized nation, the raw material come from other continent. Whole, you see, northern atmosphere countries, developed countries, the material resource come from the other side. So you see, the very, you see, question of survive. We are dependent on each other. You see, Easterner depend on Western technology. And Westerner depend on other side. And also, you see, now, you see, people already thinking and already, how to say, noticed the, you see, gap, the rich nation, the poor nation, this, I mean, still there is, I mean, gap. If this still remain, and for future, if remain a longer period, it will get, I mean, it will create some trouble. So from this viewpoint, of, I mean, practical viewpoint also, you see, it is very, very necessary to have a, you see, the attitude or clear realization that all mankind are same. You see, each nation or each person, each individual must realize that all other people are same and all people have the right to be happy and right have to get rid of suffering. And so, you see, we must concern the other people's welfare, you see, other continents' people. And the other side also must concern for this and this side's people. You see, sharing each other's suffering and concerning to each other's problem. Then, you see, I feel we can solve many problems without much trouble. So, now, how can develop, you see, that sort of, let's say, the, usually I call universal responsibility. Now, how to develop such, you see, feeling? That, I believe, firstly, we must, you see, realize that all people are same human being. See, in actually, the, see, we are truly brothers and sisters. Now the differences of ideology, differences of nationality, differences of, you see, educated or uneducated, and rich and poor, Eastern or Western, you see, different race, racial, these are secondary. The most important and the real, how to say, in reality, all are the same human being, the sameness of all mankind. So you see, we must realize that all people are the same human being. We, each of us are the member of that big human family. Now, at the moment, you see, although we are the member of that big human family, you see, due to our due to human weakness and lack of, you see, inner feeling, you see, we, same human being, always, you see, fighting, or how to say it, competing or cheating to each other. See, this is really sad thing. Now, you see, ultimately, for survive yourself, you see, it depends on other. So therefore, you see, we must make priority on the beneficial of others. Now here, you see, and this sort of, you see, realization, a clear realization of all mankind is sameness. That realization is one thing. Then second, you see, according our own experience, the other people also do not want suffering and want happiness. And other people, you see, compare with you, then majority. So the interest of the majority are the more important than oneself. And so, you see, it is very important to develop, you see, how to say, the realization of other people's, realization of importance of other people's welfare, which based on kindness, and compassion, and love. Now, you see, our human nature, when we are small, we survived under the parents' kindness. Now again, our life is reached in certain stage when we become very old, our physical become weak. then again we have to rely on others' kindness. So the most important two periods, in early life and later life, we appreciate the value of others' kindness. So now you see, between these two, you see, sometimes we feel independent. I mean, no more to rely on other. So you feel, you do not feel much about the value of kindness. Now this is, I feel, wrong. So the beginning as well as the end, the value of kindness is immeasurable. And between these two, if we practice more kindness and show other people the kind attitude, the other people will appreciate. You see, if our friend show, you see, some harsh attitude, you see, harsh word, we feel some irritation. Similarly, if we show other people negative attitude, the other people also get hurt. So you see, according to our own experience, it is very, very important to be kind person, honest, sincere. Through honest, through sincere, through sense of brothers and sisters, brotherhood, sisterhood, we can achieve many, we can achieve real world peace. Now, for example, the noble task, the disarmament, the arms control, the east-west relation, there's a north-southern relation. Now, these noble tasks can achieve through mutual understanding, mutual respect, mutual love. Now, other side, through hatred, through anger, we cannot achieve these noble tasks. Now, it is very clear. You see, through hatred and competing, through anger, you cannot achieve inner peace. See, nobody can say, my mind is very peaceful because I have angry. We cannot say that. Nobody say like that. The other side, today I am very, very happy because, you see, I met my best friend. That means if you met best friend, you will show kindness. With a best friend, we cannot show anger. So that means, anger is the real, real destroyer of happiness. The other side, love, is the real creator of, love is the real creator of happiness. So you see, here on this is the subject, we don't need deeper philosophy, we don't need logic, we just simply think properly according to our own experience. We can realize kindness is very useful and very necessary and the real source of happiness. And contrary, the anger are the real troublemaker, real enemy. So you see, nobody want unhappiness. Nobody want mental unrest. So if you do not want the bad result, then first you must control the sources of that result. So that is the mental disturbance, anger, hatred. These things are the real mental disturber.
Yes.
So you see, in our daily life, self-awareness, self-discipline is very important and necessary. Now, some people express, anger and certain, emotional feeling. If we control, try to minimize,
minimize,
now minimize, then effect will be different. Some people say like that. So therefore, it is better to express. Oh, Kasuli, Tanshala.
Express.
So here you see, I think you see there may be you see two types. You see certain mental mental grievance, sadness,
grief,
or some sort of heavy feeling. Once you express the thing, then they finish. No more. You see, that type of mental burden or mental grief, it is very good to express. Don't hide. Then the another type, like anger, hatred, and too much attachment. Now, these emotional feeling, if you let out, then it will come, more forcefully. Today, if we try to control, now for example, anger, today with clear realization of the negative effect of anger, and clear realization of the positive, positive effect of the non-anger or love and kindness. With these, clear realization, and try to control, minimize. Today, you try to control. The next, it will slightly, decrease. I mean, if we try to control, today, then after weeks, after months, you can minimize our anger. If we let out, it will increase. So in certain mental mental problem or mental emotional things, it is better to control. So now the Todas sharing.
In brief,
the after all we born in human world. Now we must we must try to become a good human being, not bad human being. If you become a bad human being, you will create problems for other people. At ultimate result, you yourself will be a loser, mentally upset, right? So you see, the in daily life, this is self-awareness, check, investigate. We always checking other people. It is sometimes necessary, but even more necessary, self-check is more necessary. Our finger, before pointing other people, first pointing to ourselves. Check whether I am a good human being or bad human being. If you want a good human being, then good human being cannot make by machine, but good human being must create by ourselves. So within ourselves, if we improve ourselves, then we become a good human being. We are selfish nature. If you are really selfish, then you must be a wise selfish rather than foolish selfish. So if you are wise selfish, then you must control these bad thought and bad behavior, and you must increase the good thought and good behavior. Then you become a good citizen, good human being, good citizen of the United States. That's nice. It is very useful for long run for yourself as well as your neighbor, as well as your country. So on the level of family level, on the national level, on the international level, this is self-awareness and how to say the good person or kind person is very, very necessary and very useful. This is my, general message. I call and this, you see, love and compassion and kindness, I call the universal religion. And with this motivation, and we must carry the other responsibility of other whole mankind's, you see, benefit. We, each of us, have the moral responsibility. Even you are working on the street, but mentally, since we are part of the human society, so we, each of us, have the responsibility to think of all mankind. So we must think, this is sort of the universal responsibility on the basis of kindness. This is one part. Then second part, now you say, in order to develop the kindness and control anger, there the various spiritual, you see, teaching has the special responsibility to cultivate love and kindness. The whole world major religion carry same message. Now, for example, in Buddhism as well as in Christian, the message love, you see, sense of brotherhood, sense of sisterhood, these messages same. There are different philosophical, you see, philosophical explanation and certain different technique, but essentially they both have the same message. And also, you see, our teacher, like you see, Shakyamuni Buddha, as well as the Jesus Christ, you see, their own life story, we can look. You see, they are more concerned other people's welfare rather than his own welfare. So, you see, since, you see, all spiritual, all his different faith carry the same message, so there is, and actually in reality, there is no point to argue to each other, to criticize to each other. You see, unfortunate or I think we can say unfortunately, in the past of so many centuries, you see, sometimes between different faith, you see, argue to each other, criticize to each other, sometimes quarrel, but no good result. Neither can win on other side. And instead of winning victory, it suffer. It will get more misery, more miserable thing. Then you see, if we criticize to each other, if we argue to each other, if we quarrel to each other, then the real message or real value of teaching or faith lost. So you see, the closer relation between various different faith and teaching is absolutely necessary, and also, you see, I mean, very possible. My reason is this. I'm not saying all religion is same. I'm not saying that. Each religion, you see, have different philosophy. Now, if we look in the philosophical field, there are vast differences. But this, you see, we must understand the different philosophy aiming, what the purpose of that different philosophy. The all different philosophy aiming one goal. That is the happiness of mankind, happiness of all sentient beings. Now you see, each faith, they carry the potential to make each fall because of that. Chulu so generally miss sangbuchu soya the potential.
Each of these systems has the potential of causing its followers to become better human beings.
And now look, you see the result side. We can, even today we can find the I'm a very good person. I mean, how to say that? Very noble person who are, who are all their energy devote for others' welfare in various different religions. Such person we can find in different religious and group. So that shows the result is same. The different method, but result same. So you see, we can develop a real mutual respect and mutual understanding. That sort of attitude we can develop. In fact, last few years, now relation between different religion now becoming, good relation, good understanding, good relation between different religion is now, you see, improving or more, developing. It is very encouraging. So in future, the mutual respect, mutual learning to each other is very, very necessary, and it will be very useful. Now this is my second part. Now the third part. Now I will speak in Tibetan.
So if someone asked how in the Buddhist system one could cultivate compassion to a limitless degree, in terms of an explanation that uses the Buddhist reasonings, it is as follows. First of all, one has to understand that one's births have no beginning.
And
one has to reflect on the fact that therefore each and every being has directly and indirectly extended kindness to oneself over the period of these lifetimes. And beyond that, each and every sentient being, like oneself, wants happiness and doesn't want suffering. And from this point of view, one can develop a sense of wanting to do something in return, do something kind in return to these sentient beings who have been related, who are close to oneself and have extended kindness to oneself in the past. In particular, in order to develop a sense of altruism, one has to overcome hatred. And in order to overcome hatred, one has to practice patience. But to practice patience, one needs an enemy. Therefore, the practice of patience depends upon an enemy. Therefore, when one thinks in this way, even enemies are very kind. Therefore, instead of getting angry at one's enemies, create a sense of respect for them.
That
Thus, when one thinks in this manner, it is possible for one's love and compassion to extend even to enemies and then on to all other sentient beings.
Ah, that to do and kindness to that, Kasore, Ningshti, Gumzen, and Beton, and Shindavish. Did you do some Tamsha Kyoto?
In this way, one's kindness and compassion are based on reason and thereby can be extended to all sentient beings. The type of love and compassion or kindness that we have now is biased. It cannot be extended to all beings. Now, as a technique for expanding the sense of compassion, one needs wisdom to assist the process. There are two types of wisdom, the conventional wisdom that knows the five sciences and the ultimate wisdom. And if one asks, what is this ultimate wisdom that knows the mode of being of phenomena? And it is necessary first to ascertain what the mode of being of phenomena is. One has to reflect on the mode of being of phenomena through reflecting on the reasons for it. Within knowing the reasons why, one needs to know the nature of being, the mode of being of phenomena, one then investigates what that mode of being is. With respect to the reasons why one needs to cultivate knowledge of the actual mode of being of things, the King of Meditative Stabilization Sutra says, though worldly beings cultivate meditative stabilization, that does not destroy the discrimination of self. The reason for this is that in order to overcome the ignorance that misconceives the nature of phenomena, it is not sufficient merely to withdraw the mind from that misconception. So how is it that one overcomes the ignorance that misconceives the nature of things? It is by analyzing the nature of things over and over again and again, and thereby developing a wisdom consciousness that understands the actual nature of things. Thereby it can oppose the misconception. Therefore, the sutra says, if the selflessness of phenomena is analyzed, and if this analysis is cultivated, it causes the effect of attaining nirvana. Through no other cause does one come to peace.
gyushen kanyi teni shi min gyur sen, gyushen da shi tuku ma re se adi, chamba de nying jitabu, denzin le ngus ne tuku ya ma re.
When it says that through no other cause can one come to peace, it means that merely through love and compassion, one cannot oppose the ignorance that misconceives the nature of things. Rather, one has to develop the wisdom that understands the non-inherent existence of phenomena. So then, what is this selflessness? There are many levels of selflessness, some more coarse, others more subtle. The first interpretation of selflessness is of the absence of a self that is a different entity from mind and body, is permanent, is independent, partless, and stable. The absence of this is the first type of selflessness. Then the second type of selflessness refers to the absence of a self which, even though it is not a different entity from mind and body, exists as if or seems to exist in its, what do you say, seems to exist substantially, seems to be self-sufficient, and seems to be a self-sufficient user or controller or boss of the mind and body. The absence of this type of self is the second level.
Continued at this point on side B.